This is the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
There comes Concern. They turn for home in the Oakland Handicap, and it is Concern to the outside. Silver Goblin to the rail, and between them, Cigar. Cigar has a head in front. Silver Goblin second. Concern tried, but he's all done. Cigar leads it. Silver Goblin can't keep up. The Oakland Handicap, and number one rating will go to Cigar by 2.5. Silver Goblin second, and third was Concern.
Now, here's Bobby Newman and Bob Nastanovich.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm Bobby Newman along with Bob Nastanovich. We've got a dozen races from around the country to talk about tonight, most of them taking place tomorrow afternoon, a few Sunday stakes as well, and a big card at Oaklawn Park, Bob. Three stakes highlighted by the Grade 2 Oaklawn Handicap.
Yeah, that's definitely the big race of the weekend, Bob. Pretty good renewal, no doubt. There's some talented horses in there, as you'd expect. You know, the purse being $1.25 million. There's a couple of races that we're going to look into that are Preakness races. I guess they call them Win Today, See You in May. So a race at Laurel and a race at Oaklawn that if you win the race, you are an automatic qualifier for the Preakness Stakes.
Well, you're an automatic qualifier, assuming that you are Triple Crown nominated, and that is not the case for all the runners in those races, and we'll talk about that going forward. Folks, AmWager is giving away money. New customers get a $150 sign-up bonus, plus an instant $10 bonus for HRRN listeners. Go to link.amwager.com/HRRN. You'll get 10 bucks instantly for signing up. Then deposit 150, bet 150, and get a $150 lump sum bonus. It's that easy. AmWager is a wagering platform that's loaded with valuable tools and features, including odds charts, odds predictions, and much more. You'll also get free access to Form to Win. It's a revolutionary app that analyzes past performance data in just minutes. Once again, go to link.amwager.com/HRRN to sign up and get your bonuses. AmWager, built by horse players, for horse players. All right, Bob, let's kick it off with the big races at Oaklawn tomorrow, the first of which is the Bathhouse Row. This is the win-and-you're-in event, if you will, for the Preakness. Three-year-olds going a mile and an eight. Purse of $200,000 on the line. Field of eight going to post. Only three of the eight runners, though, Bob, are Triple Crown nominated. Those are three Imperial Gun, four Informed Patriot, and eight Count Dracula.
Yes, and the three Imperial Gun and the four Informed Patriot are both trained by Steve Asmussen. They both ran in the March 30th Arkansas Derby and were well beaten by the likes of Muth, Just Steel, and Mystic Dan, who we expect to line up in the Kentucky Derby. They were both, Imperial Gun was 65-1, Informed Patriot was 69-1, and they both ran to their odds. They were complete also-rans. Going into that race, they'd shown some pretty good form, but they're kind of the types of horses, you know, despite their outstanding pedigrees, that you know, sort of are second tier even in their own barn. Imperial Gun's 3-1, ridden by Joel Rosario for the second time. He actually was aboard Imperial Gun on New Year's Eve when the Gunrunner colt broke his maiden. Ricardo Santana rides Informed Patriot. They're decent horses. You know, that we'd like to think that they'd improve throughout their three-year-old year. I'm going to take a stand against them here. Kind of a really interesting key race here was the March 28th optional claiming allowance race that Maximus Magic won by a neck over Count Dracula, who's in here. Count Dracula being the third Triple Crown nominee from the McPeak barn. Maximus Magic, of course, beat him that day. It was a one-mile race. Very significant here to me that this is a mile and an eighth, or the Arkansas Derby distance. I think that Count Dracula, being by Temple City out of a general quarters mare, can turn the tables on him. Visually, he was impressive in that race. He was closing at the end. He's been working right along. Manny Esquivel takes over from Brian Hernandez. Obviously, they're both very good riders. I think it's Count Dracula's turn to step up And I think that he's the one that will relish the nine furlongs. So he's my selection in the bathhouse row.
Okay, I'm going to take Maximus Magic to win again. And even though a mile was almost pushing it and even tried a mile and a 16th before that and he couldn't get the job done, I just can't find anyone to bother him on the front end in this race. And I think he's going to have an easier time making the lead and a slower pace to set this time around in the bathhouse row than what he saw in that allowance event last time out. I know he's got to get an extra furlong or a furlong here, but I think the pace scenario is going to help his chances, and I'm going to look for Maximus Magic and Rocco Bowen to rock the cradle on the front end and take him all the way in the bathhouse row. 10th race tomorrow at Oaklawn is the Valley of the Vapors. Three-year-old fillies getting their chance. This time the distance is a mile. We've got a field of 11 in this race, and slight favorite on the morning line is number one, Neon Beach.
Yeah, this race was very difficult for me to assess. Neon Beach, I think, will go off favorite 5-2 in the morning line. Rosario rides again for Asmussen here. Nice daughter of Omaha Beach out of a Giant's Causeway mare. Very consistent filly. She's run seven times. She's got a couple of wins. He's put her in stakes races three times, a couple of thirds, fourth in the Honeybee, that race that Lemon Muffin won. West Omaha came in third, got beat 4.25. I think that's a pretty good line on her skill level. She came out of that race at Lasix on March 29th and finished a lot better under Christian Torres and won that race, versus lesser competition by 3/4 of a length. I mean, obviously she's eligible to win, but I don't really feel comfortable taking a short price on her. The Lasix comes off for the stakes race, and I think she'll be in the top three, but yeah, I think she'll be shorter than 5-2, and she doesn't make much appeal from a betting perspective. The 8, Candy Isle, is an interesting entrant to me because she was going great guns at places like Albuquerque, Zia, Sunland Park. She ran second to the Asmussen Train Recharge, a race that she could have won at the time. Recharge was undefeated, and since she's been well beaten back here at Oaklawn. And then she just ran into really heavy duty competition in the fantasy race won by Torpedo Anna. West Omaha improved in that race and ran really well. A lot of people like Torpedo Anna to win the Kentucky Oaks, or definitely a much ballyhooed contender for the Kentucky Oaks. Santana rides back for Fincher. I just think if you eliminate her effort in the fantasy, she's got a big shot. And there's a lot to like about Winnable from the outside. She's the 11 horse. She makes her stakes debut after a couple of really good efforts on the synth this winter in Turfway, including a second behind Everland in the Bourbonette Oaks. Everland, of course, will line up for the Kentucky Oaks for the Foster family, which is pretty exciting. But very well-bred daughter of Justify out of a Curlin mare. Don't like the post going 1 mile for her. So I settled on a long shot on here. I think Candy Isle, if she improves, gets back to running her best race, closing from mid-pack, I think she's got a big shot. She's 15-1 on the morning line for Todd Fincher.
All right, I like the selection. I'm confused in this race as well. I landed on the 5, Marisol Sugar, only because she's shown a little bit of versatility in her 3 starts. 2 good efforts when going to the lead, and a pretty good effort running second when coming from mid-pack 2 races back. So I think Keith Asmussen will have his options with the daughter of Constitution, Marisol Sugar, the selection for me. By the way, I was looking at the conditions for this race, and it's similar with all stakes, not just at Oaklawn. I like how the final sentence in the conditions are the owner of the winner to receive a trophy. And it's not just Oaklawn, it's Santa Anita, it's Aqueduct, it's Laurel, it's wherever. But I was wondering, is that ever a tipping point? They did say we get a trophy if we win. So I just find that's interesting in the conditions of the race that they put down that the owner gets a trophy. Okay. It just seems a little bit odd to me. The big race on the card tomorrow at Oaklawn Park is race 11. It's the $1.25 million Grade 2 Oaklawn Handicap for four-year-olds and up, going the distance of a mile and an eighth, big field of 11. And here we heard the running from 1995 with Cigar taking the race over Concern. Terry Wallace on the card. None of these at this point look like the next Cigar or even Concern, but a very evenly matched high-quality field in the Oaklawn Handicap tomorrow, Bob.
Running for a lot of money. You know, and, you know, down the years there's been, I mean, you played Cigar on the intro. There's been some really incredibly talented high-class winners of this race. I'm not sure that we have a superstar in this field, but like you said, some very good horses. Side note, and here are the conditions. A sentence that's, you know, kind of repeated twice, and here the winner of this gets all their fees paid to go in the Pimlico Special. So it'll be interesting. I'm not sure what the purse in the Pimlico Special is going to be this year, but kind of an interesting tie-in here between Oaklawn and Pimlico. Hopefully that's a healthy situation. Looking at this race, let's start with Octane. Octane showed up from Florida. Was 5-1 in the Grade 3 Razorback February 24th, and, you know, has a very appealing running style. Can either lead or lay just off the pace for trainer Juan Alvarado. Showed up that day for the first time in Oaklawn, kind of out of left field, coming from South Florida. Excellent spot, good find, great training job. Leperu came in, and they won the race by 3/4 of a length over Magic Tap, who reopposes here. I was very impressed with Red Route 1. I thought Red Route 1 beat a really outstanding field March 23rd in the New Orleans Classic at Fairgrounds. Running down for one, the redoubtable Touch Upon a Star, one of my favorite horses in training, turning the tables on Money Supply. So Red Route 1 was on his A game at the Fairgrounds last time. Just an outstanding closer and a real money spinner. He's now won $1.5 million. I think he's got a shot, but he is pace dependent, and I'm not sure if there's going to be enough pace to set up his late kick. I went with Skippy Longstock, socking a horse that we're very familiar with, a five-year-old son of Exaggerator, trained by Safi Joseph. Jose Ortiz shows up to ride, obviously a big-time money rider who's been in outstanding form at Keeneland this meet. Skippy Longstocking was back to his best March 9th in the Challenger, a Grade 3 Challenger. He's got a nice running style. The 10 post does not concern me as much, going a mile and an eighth here. I think he ought to sit a nice trip on or near the lead. You know, he's a very consistent horse and very high-class horse. I think that, you know, this is a perfect opportunity for him to win another huge pot.
All right, Skippy Longstocking, logical selection in here. I went to the inside in Highland Falls. Picked a tough spot for his stakes debut last time out, shipping from the east out to the west in the mile and a quarter Grade 1 Santa Anita Handicap, although I don't think it was the toughest Grade 1 field we've ever seen. It was still a tough spot to try stakes company for the first time, and he ran all right. He finished fourth. He got beat like 2.5 lengths that day to Newgate and Subsanador and others, and now shortening back up to a mile and an eighth and getting back to the part of the country that he knows the best, although he hasn't actually raced at Oaklawn yet. I like the inside draw. I think he will not be far off what should not be a very hot pace. Should be sitting just in behind them, and hopefully he'll be loaded for bear when they get to the quarter pole under Florent Giroux. I like Highland Falls at 9-2 to get his first stakes win in tomorrow's Grade 2 Oaklawn Handicap. All right, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we're going to head down over to Keeneland. They've got a couple of graded stakes to talk about. This is the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
Fans, we would like to thank you for helping make our classic meet a great success. We are now underway in our Hollywood meet, and it promises to be stellar. The meet will have world-class racing and an incredible lineup of great events. You can see all the great entertainment on tap over at santaanita.com. Our Hollywood meet runs from now until Sunday, June 16th. Opening weekend brings us four big stakes, highlighted by the Grade 2 Santa Maria Stakes tomorrow, April 21st. Great special events are lined up too, like a big day on April 27th filled with entertainment like the Frenchie Bulldog Derby, a Hot Wings trackside event, and a recently added Laughs and Lowriders event that features stand-up comedians, a classic car show, and a family fun zone all in the infield. The top jockeys, the top trainers, great events, and world-class racing are all here at the great race place, Santa Anita Park.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Hey, Jude Feld here. I'm back to get you ready for the 150th Kentucky Derby with HRN's Derby Countdown, presented by Hillendale at Alapa. I'll join Bobby Newman live at Churchill Downs Tuesday through Thursday mornings of Derby Week as we bring you interviews from trackside with jockeys, trainers, owners, and other racing insiders, plus workout reports, breaking news, handicapping advice, and more. It's the Derby Countdown, presented by Hillendale at Alapa, Tuesday through Thursday of Derby Week, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern. Listen on Sirius 161, XM 206, or streaming live at horseracingradio.net.
You're listening to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
Wise Dan lets it out a notch, opens up on a five-length lead. Big Blue Kitten, ridden along by Javier Castellano, who senses the urgency of the moment because Wise Dan is gone off the far turn with a seven-length advantage. Big Blue Kitten is second by four. Eye of the Leopard third, Ceases fourth, and Guy's Reward fifth between horses. It is Wise Dan rolling by the eighth pole. Wise Dan, eight-length advantage back to Big Blue Kitten. He is back, and he is back in style. Wise Dan and John Velasquez to crush the field in the Ben Ally. Big Blue Kitten was home second, and then it was Guy's Reward home third, followed by Cease.
Kurt Becker on the call. Back in 2012, the Grade 3 Ben Ally won impressively by the legendary Wise Dan. Welcome back to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview here on HRRN. Bobby Newman, Bob Nastanovich, this year's Ben Ally, one of two graded stakes tomorrow at Keeneland. Let's get down there now, Bob. Race 8 on the Saturday Keeneland program is the Grade 2 Elkhorn. Four-year-olds and up, going to go the extended distance of a mile and a half on the turf. We've got a field of 11, but number 4, Bold Act, is riding a two-race win streak, both at a mile and a half on the turf and both against graded stakes competition.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with his chances, isn't it? I mean, he's just... For one thing, you know, he's won on this course. Last October, he showed up at Keeneland. He raced at Saint Cloud in France on September 8th, and before that, he'd been running at Deauville. You know, okay races for him in France. He ran he'd run third. He'd run Royal Ascot that year in a Group 3. He'd run third. He shows up at Keeneland with Jamie Spencer aboard and finishes like a freight train. And runs by a horse called Cellist, who we've seen, you know, run to very good effect at Turfway this winter. A really good synth horse and a good turf horse too. So they sent him off favorite, and he was just way too much. And he was given a lot of time off. He showed up at Maidan Racecourse last time and beat a really good field in the Dubai City of Gold under Miguel Barcelona. And Frankie Dettori, of course, who won the big filly and mare stakes there last week on a $50 horse. He shows up to ride for Charlie Appleby. So, you know, pretty hard to argue with his chance. Graham Motion enters a pair in here. The Gray Wizard, you know, on his day, he's a capable horse. One interesting thing about him, if you like him, he's 15-1 in the morning line under Luis Saez. He's a winner at Keeneland, ran one of the best races of his life last April. At this meet last April, pretty much this weekend, a two other than allowance race, ran a really good figure in there, which, you know, would definitely get him on the board in here. Sort of the most interesting entrant to me is Highland Chief, who we have not seen since he finished a well-beaten 12th behind Rebel's Romance, the Godolphin-owned Rebel's Romance in the Breeders' Cup turf. He returns to the races. You know, before that, for Graham Motion and John Velasquez, he was a Grade 1 winner. He won the Grade 1 Man Award at Belmont, and then he won the Sycamore here. So we have the winners of the last two Sycamores, the big mile-and-a-half race for older horses in the fall. Winning Spirit is an interesting new shooter. He's a horse that plied his trade mostly in Germany and Italy throughout his career and was bought for $454,000 at Arcana in France last year. Christophe Clement trains him for his first U.S. start. Tyler Gaffleone rides him. It'll be interesting to see what he does, but I just don't think he's in the same class as Bold Act. So if they beat Bold Act, they're going to have to do a lot of running, and I just can't see him getting beat at a short price in the Elkhorn.
Well, I don't think he's a cinch in this spot, but I do think he's the logical one to beat, and I think he's going to win the race. He's 3-2 on the morning line. I think he's going to be closer to even money at post time, which to me is a little bit too short. I don't think he's a slam dunk in this spot. Horse from California is pretty good, missed the cut, although I don't think he's been beating much in Santa Anita in his most recent starts. Bold Act, like you said, though, he's in such good form, and probably if he repeats either of his last two races, he's going to win. It's just going to be at a shorter price than I'd like. Bob and I both think Bold Act wins the Grade 2 Elkhorn. Grade 3 Ben Ally is the ninth race on the card tomorrow at Keeneland. These are four-year-olds and up, going 1 3/16 on the main track. We've got a field of 9 in this year's edition of the Ben Ally, including a horse we remember from last year's Kentucky Derby, Kings Barnes.
Yeah, he's back. First of all, thanks for playing the Wise Dan clip of him winning the Ben Ally on the intro there. What a fantastic couple of seasons he had under the tutelage of Charlie Lopresti. And one great thing about Wise Dan was he was a year-round resident at Keeneland, so it was always really cool when he ran big there, which he did very often. Of course, he'd ease his way down the highway and run huge at Churchill as well, and just a really wonderful gelding who raced very effectively for a long time. This is a good renewal. I mean, for one thing, Smile Happy's in here, and he's a horse that's really frustrated. I think both of us, I know I've picked him in the Louisiana and then gave him another chance in the Mineshaft, and he didn't run a jump. I got beat 6th in the Louisiana Grade 3 Louisiana January 20th at Fairgrounds, and well beaten in the Mineshaft behind Money Supply, Best Actor, and Gasoline. So he's faced good horses down at Fairgrounds, but he has not been anywhere near his best self. He ran in the 2022 Kentucky Derby. He finished 2nd on this racetrack to Zandon in the 2022 Bluegrass. He ran a huge race in the Ali Sheba last May Derby week. And we just haven't seen that Smile Happy since. Highly significant here is the first time gelding. You know, maybe that's the solution. I mean, he obviously has the ability to win races like this, and quite frankly, better races than this. You know, perhaps gelding him will be the ticket. You know, Todd Pletcher runs 2 in here. Dynamic One's kind of interesting. He seems like an improving son of Union Rags, even at the age of 6. You know, however, he was very good in 2022. He's sort of getting back to his best self, but in a similar fashion to Smile Happy, he just hasn't matched that form from his 4-year-old season. You know, this is a horse that you know, ran in the Travers, was 6-1 in the Travers, the one that Essential Quality won back in 2021. So, you know, Todd Pletcher's one of those guys that, you know, can get horses back, you know, to their best self. It seems like a gradual process with him. Irad Ortiz keeps the faith. He's basically his regular rider. But I'm going to go with Kings Barnes and here just because, you know, the good Kings Barnes can win this race. And basically, whether it's sprints or routes, this meet at Keeneland, it seems like it's been very kind to speed. I expect him to be, you know, quite frankly, he looks like he could make the lead in here. That's the way he won the Louisiana Derby. You know, got sucked into a 45-3 dueling, 45-3 in the Kentucky Derby. Came back, ran okay in the Pegasus, and then his tune-up race for this was a closing effort at 3-5. Kind of the perfect prep race to set him up for a spot like this. He's working pretty well at Palm Beach Downs. Luis Saez seems like the perfect rider for him. Rides him for the 4th time in his career here in his 7th race. I think the son of Uncle Mo can win this race and you know, start moving in the right direction, climbing the ranks in this the handicap division in this country. So I'll pick Kings Barnes and the Ben Ali.
All right, I'm going to pick Smile Happy. It's not a race I'm going to bet because I've just made a decision a while ago that I'm done betting on Smile Happy. I am convinced of this, though. If he doesn't – I don't think he has to win this race, but if he doesn't fire a good shot tomorrow – after being gelded, I mean, they're going to have to stop running him in graded stakes. And I don't know if the fact that he's gelded, if they would be willing to put him in for a high tag. I mean, that'd be pretty much a shame, a multiple grade two stake winner if he shows up in a claiming race. But he's probably going to have to look for a lesser stake, a listed stake somewhere to maybe get his confidence back. One of those restricted stakes. I know they run some of them up at Saratoga during the meet, you know, non-winners of a sweepstakes since, that kind of a thing. Because he has it in his PPs that he's supposed to be tough against a field like this. And now they've, you know, they've done the ultimate. This is it. If he doesn't run well after being gelded on a track where he's run well in the past and a setup that looks good for him, then where do you turn? So I'm going to put Smile Happy on top. I wouldn't bet him with your money. All right, let's get down to Laurel. They've got a couple of nice stakes on their Saturday card, first of which is race number 8. In fact, they've got several stakes. We're going to talk about just two of them on today's show, including the 8th race, which is the Weber City Miss for 3-year-old fillies going a mile and a 16th on the main track. We've got a field of 8 in this race. And big class plunge for number 4, Shimmering Allure, really up against it in the grade 1 Ashland just a couple weeks ago, now dropping into this listed stake tomorrow.
Yeah, good race here. It's the winning win today. See You and May Horse is automatically given an entrance into the Black Eyed Susan Stakes, which is a nice option for anybody that wins in Laurel. You know, Band of Gold, the one horse in here who Ben Curtis rides for Kenny McPeak. Kind of interesting that Curtis and McPeak were, you know, around each other all winter at Fairgrounds, and as far as I can tell, this is the first time Curtis has ridden for McPeak, but he rode very effectively for guys like Mike's. They had a really good meet, and he decided not to go back home, so he's an English rider that stayed in the U.S. Obviously, the financial opportunities are a lot better, and the jockey ranks are very deep in the U.K. Band of Gold was good enough to beat a very good field in the Martha Washington at Oaklawn Park. She won the race pretty easily. Since then, she finished 6th behind Lemon Muffin in the Honeybee, and then she didn't really run. She hung in the Bourbonette Oaks behind Everland. And, you know, I'm just wondering if she's like a filly version of Mystic Dan. I mean, she kind of freaked in the slop, you know, like he did at Oaklawn Park. And so far, he hasn't run back to that form. Miss Harriet, who's a very fast daughter of Blofeld out of a Sea of Secrets mare, total sprint pedigree to me, is going to try a route. But I think she ensures a pretty demanding pace in here. It's interesting to see McPeak has also entered Shimmering Allure, who you mentioned, who's just a very, very, you know, pace-dependent deep closer, well beaten by the best 3-year-old fillies in the country as far as I'm concerned, with the exception of, you know, maybe one or two out on the West Coast. That race, that was the best 3-year-old filly race this year, the Ashland, April 5th. Leslie's Rose upset the stake. The 2-year-old champion, Just FYI, in her season debut, ran a great race. And Impel's a good horse trained by Brad Cox for Judd Mont. Definitely a really talented horse. And Shimmering Allure was just simply outrun, finds a softer spot here. Horacio Caramanos rides for McPeak. You know, she's gonna have to pass a lot of horses. And she's 2-for-9 lifetime. I don't feel comfortable taking her at a short price. Determined drivers in here. This is a very, very honest filly. Has run 5 times, last 3 at Laurel. She's just good. I mean, mile and 16th seems ideal. Her works are very good. She comes off a huge effort, she always fires. Forrest Boyce really rides her really well, and she's my selection. I think she's the local horse is too much for him in this race.
All right, I went to Shimmering Allure. I know she's coming back quickly after that tough effort in the Ashland, but she was way against it that day. It was the toughest field of 3-year-old fillies we've seen thus far this year. It was a slow pace. You just couldn't close at all that day at Keeneland, let alone in that race, and Shimmering Allure just had no chance. Much easier spot, but too low of a price. I think she wins the Weber City Miss, race 8 at Laurel. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're not done with Laurel. We've got the Federico Tessio coming up, as well as a couple of nice graded stakes out on the West Coast. This is the Amwager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
Fans, we would like to thank you for helping make our classic meet a great success. We are now underway in our Hollywood meet, and it promises to be stellar. The meet will have world-class racing and an incredible lineup of great events. You can see all the great entertainment on tap over at SantaAnita.com. Our Hollywood meet runs from now until Sunday, June 16th. Opening weekend brings us four big stakes, highlighted by the Grade 2 Santa Maria Stakes tomorrow, April 21st. Great special events are lined up too, like a big day on April 27th filled with entertainment like the Frenchie Bulldog Derby, a Hot Wings trackside event, and a recently added Laughs and Lowriders event that features stand-up comedians, a classic car show, and a family fun zone all in the infield. The top jockeys, the top trainers, great events, and world-class racing are all here at the great race place, Santa Anita Park.
It's been said that when someone you love has Parkinson's, you have Parkinson's.
The Parkinson's Foundation knows that the disease doesn't just affect the diagnosed. It affects everyone who supports and helps care for them.
If you have questions, the Parkinson's Foundation has answers.
We can help you understand the disease
and give you tips for living a better life.
Find your answers at Parkinson.org or call 1-800-473-4636. The Parkinson's Foundation. Better lives. Together.
Hi, this is Kurt Becker. Join me each week on the Equine Forum as I take you on a stroll through racing history presented by Keeneland. This week, I look back at the racing career of Ponder. Listen live on the Equine Forum every Saturday morning on Sirius 162 or XM 207 or visit our website at horseracingradio.net to access the archives and enjoy past editions. It's a stroll through racing history with me, Kurt Becker, presented by Keeneland, only here on HRRN.
You're listening to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
And Game On Dude is running away at the top of the stretch. He has opened up a four or five length lead. Morning Line is absolutely all in second. Kettle Corn stays at the rail, but he's six behind. And Prayer for Relief and Game On Dude is putting on a show off the layoff. Game On Dude to the final furlong. He's opened up a monstrous lead. It's going to be a good battle for second, but Game On Dude is straight and strong and far in front. Game On Dude, yes. Wow, he is back. Game On Dude won by 8.5. Kettle Corn got second. Prayer for Relief third.
Fixed Offer on the call back in 2012, was back then known as the Grade 2 Californian at Hollywood Park, won impressively by Game On Dude, now a Grade 3 event, and over at Santa Anita, one of two Saturday stakes tomorrow at the Great Race Place. Welcome back to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview here on HRRN. Bobby Newman, Bob Nastanovich. Before we get to the stakes action, or back to it, I should say, time for the Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Talking a lot about the Preakness so far on this show. Blazing Sevens takes first racing spin of 2024. Rodeo Creek Racing's Blazing Sevens, winner of the 2022 Champagne Stakes and runner-up in the 2023 Preakness, returns as a four-year-old in an $84,000 allowance optional claiming race at Aqueduct April 20th, the second level race at a mile. Part as the seventh race, and over the same distance as which he won the Champagne over a sloppy track at Aqueduct a year and a half ago, marks a comeback after a long hiatus after he was third in the July 21st Curlin Stakes at Saratoga. Curlin Stakes followed his narrow defeat in the May 20th Preakness when he was outgained by a head by multiple Grade 1 winner National Treasure. That wraps up this afternoon's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. Follow the road to the Kentucky Derby, plus have the latest racing, breeding, sales, and industry news and analysis, plus entries, results, race replay videos, and more at your fingertips with the Blood Horse Daily app for your phone, updated throughout the day or delivered daily in an email. Both are free. Blood Horse Daily has the largest reach of any industry electronic newsletter or app. Go to bloodhorse.com/daily to download the app or sign up now. All right, Bob, back to the stakes action. We're not done with Laurel yet. Race 10 is the Federico Tessio, a win and you're in race for the Preakness, assuming they are Triple Crown nominated. Three-year-olds going the distance of a mile and an eighth. Field of 11, 9 of the 11 are Triple Crown nominated, Bob. And the morning line favorite here, well, it's tough to figure out who's going to be favored in this race. Slight favorite on the morning line is a horse who tried the Bluegrass last time out. That's Lat Long.
Yeah, the one horse in here, Speediness, is 6-1 on the morning line. I don't think that'll hold up. The Jamie Ness trainee, his speed from the rail for a start, Jaime Rodriguez, he finished third, beating a neck behind Copper Tax and Inveigled, who, we'll talk about. They're both in this race. They drew 10 and 11. This is an ideal scenario from Speediness if he can break sharply from the rail and control the pace. There's no way that he'll be 6-1. At 6-1, he might be pretty enticing. I think the other thing with him, he's one of the ones not Triple Crown nominated. I don't think he'll stay a mile and eighth. He just doesn't seem like that. Seems in the mile and 16th private terms last time on Sealed Slop. He was a tired horse the last 40 yards and got, run down by good horses. An interesting entrant here, a horse that I sort of expect to improve. I think it's kind of a bold entry for Todd Pletcher to enter Carolo Rapido, the 9 horse in here, Jorge Ruiz rides, in that he just broke his maiden in his third race at Laurel. But, he's by Curlin out of Catherine Sophia, so he's definitely a horse on the move. It'll be interesting to see how he debuts in stakes company in the Federico Tessio. And then we come to the pair that are likely to take the money, and deservedly so. That one of them is Copper Tax, who I think is, definitely the best horse on this circuit, or at least trained at Laurel in terms of performance so far. He's 6-9 lifetime. He's only run one bad race. It's when he went down to Tampa and for the Tampa Bay Derby series. He went in the prep, the Sam Davis, and he got, he just have to put a line through that race because it was so unlike him. I mean, he was well beaten in the Remsen, but that was on a nasty track and with a lot of really classy horses in it, of course, including Dornock and Sierra Leone, who will be in the Kentucky Derby. In the private terms, he was back to himself. He made a really strong 6-wide bid. I think he's got a big shot for Gary Capuano. Interesting work pattern for him, including a recent mile work, which is not an unusual thing for Capuano to do, judging by his tab. Inveigled, who's his old rival, is, one of the best Indiana breds, probably the best Indiana bred 3-year-old in training. He's a good horse, and he always shows up. And he just got beat a neck. I think he's going to be a pretty attractive price in here for Jane Sibeli and Michael Sanchez. Has a really appealing running style. If he can get out of the 10 hole and get in striking position, I think he might be tough for Copper Tax to run down. I think, being by enticed out of a quality road mare, that he might prefer the added ground more than Copper Tax. I think it's a wonderful opportunity for Inveigled to turn the tables on Copper Tax and win the Federico Tessio.
All right, I'm going to take a horse who ran against both of those horses in the private terms, but you didn't mention. That's number 3, Circle P. Horse I know that both of us have liked it sometimes. He never gets played. He's always a price and seems to always run decent races. In fact, he's never been worse than 4th in any of his 6 starts, and he's getting blinkers added for the first time. I think the extra distance does nothing but help his chances. He was closing well at both a mile and a mile and a 16th. I don't see why a mile and an 8th would hurt his chances. Blinkers on, maybe we'll see a better effort tomorrow than we've seen thus far. And he's a big price again. He's 8-1 on the morning line. I'm looking for Circle P to put in a good closing kick and maybe win the Federico Tessio. Let's head over to the West Coast. Couple of nice graded stakes on the Saturday card at Santa Anita. First of which is race 7, the Grade 3 Californian for older horses, going a mile and an 8th. The field of 5, Bob, all eyes on number 2, Judge Miller, who blew up an allowance field last time out.
Yeah, Judge Miller, first of all, for pedigree fans, this is a full brother to Clairiere. I mean, it's one of the most well-bred horses in racing by Curlin out of Cavorting, and he showed it in his last race. I mean, he won his maiden on Malibu Day, the opening day at Santa Anita, December 26. Ran a good race that day, but then stretching out to a mile, obviously. He's bred for at least a mile, but his first time around 2 turns, he was clearly a far better horse. Obviously, Mark Latt has become a very high percentage trainer. Mike Smith rides him for the first time. It'd been Pratt and Notori before that. Those guys are out of town, so the ride falls into Mike Smith's lap. working right along like he usually does. He's just an abundantly talented horse. He's got a couple of good horses to face here in Mixto, the three, who's 5-2 in the morning line for Doug O'Neill and Antonio Frasu. The blinkers come off of him. He's going to have to reverse his form. I mean, he did finish second in the San Antonio to Newgrange. You know, on his best day, he's a good horse. He got beat by 3.25 in the San Anita handicap when he was fifth. He'll have, you know, like I said, he'll have to get back to his best self. Bob Baffert sends over Mr. Fisk. Kazushi Kimura rides for Baffert in this spot. He ran a very subpar race in the San Pasquale on January 27th. But before that, he was going great guns. He just looks like the kind of horse that's better at Del Mar than Santa Anita. That might be the case. And if so, then Judge Miller is just going to win this race. You know, I mean, obviously he's facing a lot of horses in here, a quartet of horses that have plenty of stakes experience. So he may have to step up again. He might not have to, but he's got a delightful running style for Santa Anita. He'll be on or near the lead. In fact, I expect him to take it all the way and pretty much be a steering job for Mike Smith at a short price. I can't oppose Judge Miller.
I'm not going to oppose him either, and I think he's going to be about 1-2, 3-5 in this spot. I'm not going to bet him at those short prices, but he certainly has the most upside, and anywhere close to the way he ran last time out is good enough to beat this field in the Californian Race 7 tomorrow at Santa Anita. Eighth race is the Grade 3 Providencia for the 3-year-old filly. He's going a mile and an eighth on the turf. We've got a field of eight here and a 6-5 morning line shot in the 3 Medoro.
Yeah. It's another one of these races where it's you know, it's hard to oppose the favorite in here. I mean, Circle of Trust, the two horse in here who Kimura rides for Phil D'Amato. I mean, you always have to take Phil D'Amato entrance seriously in grass races at Santa Anita, and you know, this is the best he can come up with. This is a 3-year-old Union Rags filly who broke her maiden last time. You know, she's obviously highly regarded by D'Amato. He ran her in the Jimmy Durante when, you know, right after she won her maiden and got disqualified. So she was across the line winner at that point. You know, that race, that Jimmy Durante last year was tough. I mean, Zone of Verde is a nice horse. Lady DeBerry, really impressive horse at the time. You know, she ran good last time. You know, it's kind of interesting in here. Secura Blossom, the 6 horse, is also entered in Arkansas in that 1 mile race for 3-year-old fillies that we talked in the first segment. I kind of see her taking up her engagement here for Leonard Powell. Hector Berrios rides her. She's on a 2-race win streak. She won the Arizona Oaks, but she'll have to step up to compete with Medoro. Medoro looks like she's potentially a very special filly for Peter Yurt, and Antonio Frasu rides her for the fourth time and in the fourth race of her life. And she ran huge in the China Doll last time. I'm not really sure what she's beaten, but she's done all 3 of her wins are with pretty serious aplomb, and I think a mile and eighth ought to be perfect for her. Being by honor code out of an English Channel mare, I think Medoro's just too much horse for him in the Providencia.
Yeah, I actually don't really think it's close. I'm looking at the ones who are second and third choice on the morning line. Number 2, Circle of Trust, is a maiden winner. That's who's the second choice to Medoro. Medoro's so much better than her. I mean, most of the races, she's run 3 races. Any one of them, I think, beats this field. Somebody's going to really have to improve to have a chance to beat Medoro. I don't think they're going to do it. She's 6-5 on the morning line. She'll probably be 4-5. And she looks like she's worth 4-5 in the Grade 3 Providencia. All right, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, we're going to head out to Aqueduct. Good Saturday and Sunday stakes action there. And another good stake at Santa Anita as well. This is the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
Fans, we would like to thank you for helping make our classic meet a great success. We are now underway in our Hollywood meet, and it promises to be stellar. The meet will have world-class racing and an incredible lineup of great events. You can see all the great entertainment on tap over at santaanita.com. Our Hollywood meet runs from now until Sunday, June 16th. Opening weekend brings us 4 big stakes, highlighted by the Grade 2 Santa Maria Stakes tomorrow, April 21st. Great special events are lined up too, like a big day on April 27th filled with entertainment like the Frenchie Bulldog Derby, a Hot Wings trackside event, and a recently added Laughs and Lowriders event that features stand-up comedians, a classic car show, and a family fun zone all in the infield. The top jockeys, the top trainers, great events, and world-class racing are all here at the great race place, Santa Anita Park.
Has your child swallowed your medicine, your laundry detergent, your nail polish remover? Call the Poison Helpline. Have you inhaled paint thinner, glue, pesticides? Call the Poison Helpline. Have a question about a dose, a fume, something your kid just drank? Call the Poison Helpline. Poisonings can happen at the home, on the job, or in the great outdoors. Call the Poison Helpline first for fast, free advice from medical professionals. Call 1-800-222-1222 anytime, anywhere. 1-800-222-1222. Save the number, save a life. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
HRRN is live online. Go to our website at horseracingradio.net to stream all of our broadcasts live or listen to the show archives anytime. Read our blogs, get the latest news, and see our entire broadcast schedule. It's all there at horseracingradio.net. And follow us on Twitter at HRRN and like our page on Facebook. Search Apple Podcasts for HRRN and download our latest shows. HRRN is home to racing's biggest events, and our home on the web is at horseracingradio.net. You're listening to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
They approach the quarter pole, and Color Chart in an impressive move on the outside goes up now to take on Pazayana. Laramie Moon between horses, it's down to these three. Top of the lane, and Pazayana's game. Color Chart up to take her on the outside. Laramie Moon not finding. Pazayana's game won't let Color Chart get by her. And Pazayana digging down deep, finding more. Color Chart came right up to her, but couldn't go with her. And Pazayana and Chris McCarron going on to a great one win in the Santa Maria.
Trevor Denman on the call back in 1992, the Grade 1 Santa Maria that year, won by the great mare Pasayana. This year's Santa Maria, a Grade 2 event, is the Sunday feature at Santa Anita. Welcome back to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview here on HRRN. Bobby Newman, Bob Nastanovich. Folks, AmWager is giving away money. New customers get a $150 sign-up bonus, plus an instant $10 bonus for HRRN listeners. Go to link.amwager.com/HRRN. You'll get $10 instantly for signing up. Then deposit $150, bet $150, and get a $150 lump sum bonus. It's just that easy. Once again, link.amwager.com/HRRN to sign up and get your bonuses. AmWager, built by horse players for horse players. All right, Bob, one more Saturday stake to talk about. It's the featured event at Aqueduct tomorrow. $150,000 Danger's Hour for the older horses going a mile on the turf. That's right. We're back on the turf in New York. And the morning line favorite is number 3, Spirit of St. Louis, who just simply never runs a bad race.
No. Obviously, check the weather here and the morning changes and stuff. Right now, it looks like I'd say there's about a 75% chance, if I had to guess, that this will stay on the grass, but there's, you know, chances of rain both Friday night and in tomorrow morning. So hopefully this will stay on the grass. And if it does, it's very good news for the Chad Brown barn, who could easily run 1, 2, 3 in here. Mawson, the one horse, is a Kingman gelding trained by Brown, probably the biggest price of the three. A very talented horse in his own right. He's 5 for 14. He's got good tactical speed. I kind of expect him to be the pace setter, or at least prompt the pace from the inside under Trevor McCarthy. Then we've got Equitize, who's 9-2 in the morning line, another son of Kingman. This one's a colt, who was purchased for over $600,000 by Klarovich Stables as a yearling at Tattersall's in Newmarket. This is the horse that's really sort of unexposed, broke his maiden at Tampa last year on March 23rd, was laid off after that race until November 18th, got outrun by the likes of Integration, who we know is very good. I'm very busy in the Hill Prince, his stakes debut. Obviously, he was that highly regarded that he ran, you know, was put into a stakes and sent off at 5-1 under IRAD in his second start. Showed up at Tampa again February 23rd and easily won an entry-level allowance race. It'll be interesting to see how he performs against the likes of Spirit of St. Louis, who quite frankly is a very, very good turf horse. He's a 5-year-old gelded son of Medaglia D'Oro, very well-managed career by Brown, 5 for 7 with 2 seconds. Manny Franco, who can seemingly do no wrong at the moment on any surface at Aqueduct. Of course, they haven't been running on the grass, but he's good on that too. He's ridden Spirit of St. Louis, who, you know, is probably the best New York bred on the grass in training. And you know, it's hard for me to oppose him here. He'd have to run a subpar race to lose. I don't see it happening. He goes very well fresh. He hasn't run since October 29th. That would be your only query into his performance today, but he's working right along both at pace, and then he came up here and worked well on the Belmont training track. So I can't oppose Spirit of St. Louis, Bob.
All right, I went to the one Mason. I've always liked this horse. He seems like he's not as good now as he was a couple of years ago when he first came to the country and almost won the Grade One Makers Mark Mile, but he's at the distance that he likes the best. He's run decently at Aqueduct in the past, and he's had a little bit of time off for trainer Chad Brown, who does very well with these layoff runners. Trevor McCarthy doesn't ride a lot of horses for Brown. He usually gets one of the Ortiz brothers or Rosario or Manny Franco or Flavian Pratt. None of them wanted to come in and ride in the Danger's Hour. They're riding bigger purses elsewhere. But 5-1 on the morning line, I like Mason. I think he's as good as anyone else and maybe the best chance at beating Spirit of St. Louis, who is certainly not going to be easy to beat. We'll stick with Aqueduct, but we'll move to Sunday. The featured event on Sunday afternoon is the Plenty of Grace. Fillies and mares going a mile on the turf. We've got 9 entered, although 3 are main track only. So 6 will run if this race remains on the grass. And the morning line favorite, speaking of Chad Brown, is number 1, Midnight Mile.
Yeah, all eyes on Midnight Mile, who's never raced in this country. She shows 7 race. Oh, no, she did. I'm sorry. I take that back. She ran 4th, a pretty good late closing 4th in 2022 in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf. Back when she was trained by Richard Fahey, a very good Yorkshire trainer. Since then, you know, as a 3-year-old, she had a decent season. Her best race coming in the Group 3 Rose of Lancaster at Haydock Park. You know, she got beat by good horses that day, including El Ossie. Well, she's run against Warm Heart. You know, got completely outrun by her, which is understandable. Interesting that Chad Brown, you know, puts Trevor McCarthy on her because it seems like, you know, judging by the last race with Mawson or Mason, that seems to be the one that will be the biggest price. So who knows? You know, again, Midnight Mile is, you know, is never run at Aqueduct, and it basically is a new shooter who's been training well at Payson Park. It's hard for me to take her at a short price. Spirit and Glory's in here. Good mare by Kotai Glory. Ran a really huge race February 17th at Fairgrounds for Robert Falcone. I think she's got a live shot. She's 7-2 in the morning line, which looks like a fair assessment of her chance. Silver Skillet's in here also, 7-2 for Dylan Davis and Christophe Clement. Good tactical speed for her. But I think the number one choice from the Chad Brown barn and the horse that will go off shorter than Midnight Mile is the 6 Marvelous Maud. Marvelous Maud is just a very good, another very good New York bred filly by Slumber. Manny Franco rides her. He's ridden her a couple of times, hasn't won on her, but I think that she's just too much for this field. I'll take the 6 Marvelous Maud.
Okay, I'm going to go to the 4 TAS for Jorge Abreu and Javier Castellano. Tried the Grade 3 La Proviant last time out against Alpha Bella and R. Kelly Kim and ran a pretty good race, only got beat 3.5 lengths or so going a mile and a half, and I think it might just be a little bit too far for her. They've been trying her at these extended distances last 2 starts, and she gets tired in both of those races. In fact, all her career, different trainers have tried her going long, and she seems to just get a little bit late in those stages. Shortening up to a mile, I don't know if she needs only a mile, but I think it's a better spot for her, and 6-1 on the morning line is right up my alley. I'm going to try TAS in the Plenty of Grace. Sunday feature at Santa Anita is the 9th race, Grade 2 Santa Maria for the fillies and mares going a mile and a 16th. Noah Dare Manor in here. She shipped out east last weekend. That leaves number 3, Desert Dawn, as the morning line favorite.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of these were happy to see her go. And On top of that, sweet-ass Tekka does not show up in here either. She beat Adair Manor. Both of those fillies are just too much for this group. In fact, quite frankly, this is kind of a disappointing turnout for this race, it being a Grade 2 race with, you know, a pretty good pop by Southern California standards these days of 200,000. Desert Dawn was really disappointing to me in the Beholder Mile. I mean, she looked like a filly that was definitely, you know, going places when she won the La Cañada there on January 20th. You know, she just... She just ran a dull race in the Boulder Mile. Could have been the competition. Obviously, she'll be a much shorter price than here, the Arizona bred. But she's always light on the wind end, always a risky proposition at a short price. Coffee in Bed is a talented filly who's, you know, put forth some classy performances in her career, including a second to Desert Dawn in the La Cañada. You know, we'll see. If, you know, we see her best self, because she was dusted, beaten 60 lengths in the Beholder Mile. So there's both fillies that needed the class drop, got it, have been provided with a wonderful opportunity to get their careers back on track. But I'm going to go with the new shooter here just because I don't like this group too much. There's a daughter of Super Saver called Super Shine coming in from Argentina. Phil D'Amato trains, you know, horses put obviously had some classy runs down at, you know, tracks like Palermo and San Isidro in Argentina, working very well for D'Amato, and Frankie Dettori takes the call. So, you know, I mean, obviously Frankie Dettori has one of the best agents in the business, and Frankie probably could have ridden a few horses in here, and he ends up on the new shooter, the fresh face. And I'm going to pick Super Shine sort of, you know, by default. She's a mystery, but I'm just not a big fan of anything in here at the moment.
All right, we're running right out of time, so I'm going to pick Desert Dawn. I think she's been facing better, and I think this is the right spot for her in the Santa Maria. That's 12 races. Time now for the Amwager Best Bets.
The Amwager Best Bet.
Best Bet. All right, Bob, where are you headed?
Yeah, I'm going to head to Laurel Park. I just thought that eighth race on Saturday, the Weber City Miss, is just a glorious opportunity for the remarkably consistent, determined driver to keep, you know, her winning ways alive. I think that she'll get the distance, and Forrest Boyce, you know, very, very patient rider, seems to get the best out of her. So I'm going to take at 7-2 on the morning line, the 5-horse determined driver in the Weber City Miss at Laurel.
All right, determined driver, 3 wins from 5 career starts, never been worse than second. Bob looking at her to continue her winning ways in the Weber City Miss. I am going to the one of the Saturday features at Santa Anita, race number 8, the Grade 3 Providencia. Not going to be a big price, but I don't see how they beat number 3, Medoro. She just looks like she lays over this field, 6-5 on the morning line. That would be a gift if you could lock in fixed odds wagering at 6-5 on Medoro. She's just way better than anyone in that field has run thus far. I think she will make it 4-4 to start her career for trainer Pete Erton. Want to remind everybody, tomorrow a huge day on the Equine Forum. Our good friend Mike Penna talks to trainer Brad Cox as he previews his Kentucky Derby and Kentucky Oaks hopefuls. Keeneland handicapper Scott Hazelton walks through Saturday's stakes. And dual Hall of Fame trainer Mark Cassie looks back on his big night at the Sovereign Awards. Plus, Ashley Anderson provides this week's triple play. I'll be along with Calling All 3-Year-Olds, presented by Spendthrift. Kurt Becker takes you on his weekly stroll through racing history. Dale Romans and Tim Wilkin tackle the sport's hottest topics on I Ask, They Answer, presented by the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program. Just another full 3 hours tomorrow morning on the Equine Forum, every Saturday morning, 8-11 a.m. Eastern Time. Sirius 162, XM 207, online channel 999, or on our website, horseracingradio.net. Bob, believe it or not, we are just 2 weeks away from Kentucky Oaks and Kentucky Derby. I can't believe it.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to you and Jude, you know, hearing you guys in the interview you'll be provided below for us in the mornings of, what, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of Derby Week?
Yeah, 8-10 a.m. Eastern Time. We'll be live from the backstretch in Churchill. And, yes, we will, by the way, Oaks Day still have our weekend stakes preview as we always do. If you don't listen live, if you're knee deep in the Churchill card, we understand. You can always find it on our archives at horseracingradio.net. That wraps it up tonight on the Amwager Weekend Stakes Preview. For our producer, Lee Delapina, my co-host, Bob Nastanovich, I'm Bobby Newman. Have a great weekend at the track, everybody.